G'day, how are you going?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for making the trip from up north.
Bilgola, yeah, just near Avalon, mate.
Beautiful part of the world.
Peter Birch has lived on Sydney's northern beaches for 20 years. It's the kind of place where kids play on bikes in the streets, parents surf on the weekends, and the average house costs $1.6 million.
It's very white and it's very waspy.
Pete lives there with his wife, Kate.
The wonderful Kate.
And his two sons.
Yeah, I got two wonderful boys, Ben 11 and Finn 9.
Peter is trying to give his sons a good life.
To know what the definition is of being, you know, right and wrong and having integrity and being a good bloke.
But everything is not as idyllic as it seems. This episode, I want to talk about when times get tough. It's a cliche, but it's true that a lot of men bottle up their feelings and don't talk about how hard being a parent really is.
I was reading the paper. And all of a sudden, it just felt like the world had dropped away.
But what happens when things turn from difficult to frightening and insurmountable?
These really destructive and violent thoughts came into my head about dropping him on purpose.
What do we do if depression or anxiety sets in? How do we stop ourselves from getting there? I'm Raph Dixon, I'm a new dad, this is Dad in Progress. Peter Birch always wanted to be a dad.
You know, my wife's older than me and she's 46, and so we wanted to get into kids pretty much straight away.
There was nothing holding them back.
I was really busy, I was head of TV at a production company, so I didn't really have time to think about the, I guess, what was going to happen, the ramifications, how different my life was going to be. And how it would emotionally affect me.
The birth of his first son, Ben, was pretty uncomplicated, and Peter was excited to meet his new baby.
When Ben was born, it was incredible. It was the single most, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. You know, when you see a baby pop out of your wife's vagina, that's, you know, it's like it's almost alien-like, right? And I didn't mind being down that end because I was just so fascinated. I wanted to see what was going on.
Ben was born and it was love at first sight.
It was, you know, it was a boy. I wanted a boy. Got two boys. And, yeah, the first couple of days was, you know, it was euphoria.
Now, if you've had a baby, your wife has probably been warned about the baby blues. Around the third day after a baby is born, a woman's hormones dramatically change. She might start feeling teary, anxious, irritable. What they probably didn't tell you is that this can also happen to men.
And I guess the third day is when, I guess, the beginnings of my nervous breakdown started to make itself known, you know, started to, I guess, articulate itself. It came to the afternoon and Kate was just lying on the bed and I was reading the paper. And all of a sudden it just felt like the world had dropped away. And as I've thought about it, the only way to describe it to people is almost like you're in that white space, like the Matrix, right? You know, there's just nothing around. There's no foundation to hold you. I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was going crazy. Obviously, I was having a panic attack. Yeah, I thought the world was going to end, and I guess the difficult part about it was, immediately I thought, you're a man, you have to protect your wife and your baby, so you cannot say anything about this. You need to take this on the chin. You will just suffer in silence. That didn't work. That didn't work. And I can say that now. Because my wife came out of the toilet and she was like, you know, what's wrong? You look okay. And I was like, yeah, fine.
Peter did what a lot of us do. He kept it all inside. He didn't tell a soul. This is a really common reaction that men have to these situations. We feel like we need to be the rock and don't even tell our partners. We don't want to be a burden. When the reality is, none of our partners want us to be keeping it in. By not talking to our partners, bottling it in, we're making things worse. Pete became a shell of his former self.
I wasn't eating. I was, You know, I was constantly in terror.
Mm.
I couldn't sleep. You just can't escape from it. You can't move, and you just feel. I just felt like I was trapped. I didn't want any visitors, you know, and that was getting a bit strange.
But perhaps the scariest part was that he started to have thoughts that he might harm the baby.
These really destructive and violent thoughts came into my head about dropping him on purpose, which is part of the whole postnatal depression thing, which might sound crazy to the people listening, and trust me, I thought I was crazy.
His paternity leave was finishing up. It was time for Peter to go back to work, but he couldn't. He couldn't do anything.
Psychiatry and stuff like that, it evokes images of men in white coats and white vans and getting strapped down and, you know, being in padded cells. Well, that's what it did for me anyway.
Mm.
And that played a major role in me trying to keep it quiet because I thought, you know, if I try and write this out, it would get better, but it didn't.
And that's when it all unraveled.
I said, listen, you know, there's something wrong with me, Kate. You know, I'm anxious all the time. I can't think. I'm thinking all these weird thoughts, and I didn't tell her what they were.
Mm.
And I need to do something about it. And I actually started, I guess, the physical signs of the panic started to happen, and she which she noticed, and that's when, you know, obviously I had to come clean.
Peter's wife called a psych.
She rang them. I couldn't talk to anyone. And she said,
Can you see my husband? He's having, you know, he's having panic attacks. We've just had a baby. I think he's messed up at the moment.
A lot of people are surprised to find out that perinatal depression doesn't just affect women. Around 1 in every 20 men experience depression when their partner is pregnant, and up to 1 in 10 new dads struggle with it after the baby is born. Anxiety is just as common. There's a stigma around getting help, and those are just reported figures, so the actual numbers are probably much higher. Even if you don't slip into PND, it's very common for new dads to struggle, and the earlier men speak up, the better the outcomes.
Unappreciated. I felt unappreciated for those times that I did get up or I did let my wife sleep in. I just felt like there was no appreciation.
This is former Australian soccer player Archie Thompson. He has 2 kids and he has experienced the same tough times that a lot of us have.
I just felt like that, and I don't want to sound like a pig or anything, but I just felt like that everyone was kind of sympathetic to her. And again, I don't want to sound selfish because I know I couldn't imagine to be a mother. That's just another level. But then men get easily forgotten, and I think that I many times woke up, even when it came to trying to put my daughter to sleep. You'd actually grip them a little bit tighter, and you felt bad. Like you actually felt bad. But there's just moments where you just can't sort of relax yourself. Or just because there's that noise of the screaming baby just drives you absolutely mental. And then and that's just lack of sleep and feeling unappreciative. But then, like you say, it's that one of those moments when they kind of look up, yeah, and have a little smile and they giggle, and then that's all forgotten.
Yeah.
but like I said, I've had many times when I wake up and I'm thinking, oh, my God, who is this kid? I just want to strangle it. In the nicest possible way.
Totally. It's like no, like.
Yeah.
Why?
Pain. Yeah, yes. Painful.
I remember having feelings like that. You might have had feelings like that. We might not have clinical PND, but the stress of a newborn tests your mental health, and it's important we don't keep our struggles bottled in or else it will get worse. Thank you so much for coming in.
The traffic was terrible and I couldn't find a car park, but other than that, I'm here.
I had a chat to Dr. Bronwyn Lee. She's a clinical psychologist and parent and infant therapist.
I'm the director of the Centre for Perinatal Psychology, which is a national network of perinatal and infant psychologists.
And Dr. Lee reckons, for decades now, the social and clinical focus has been on women.
You know, we need to shine the spotlight on men and the fatherhood experience.
Dr. Lee said the symptoms of PND are different for everyone, but there are certain things to look out for.
So the kinds of things that men talk about are changes in their behaviour, such as they're working more, they're avoiding coming home because they don't want the stress at home, or they're withdrawing from friends and activities. They may have an increase in the use of alcohol or drugs, and sleep and appetite changes are also common. Men also report changes in the way that they think. So oftentimes they'll report thoughts of feeling a failure, feeling not good enough as a dad, not good enough as a partner.
Once Peter was booked in to see a psychologist, it was time for the hard part. He had to talk.
He said, have you ever had any weird thoughts? And I went, oh, fuck. If I tell him, then he's going to lock me up.
Mm.
And he said, have you ever been in the kitchen, you know, cutting up some vegetables or something, and your wife's in there? Have you ever thought about, you know, just sliding the knife into your wife? Right? And I just went, what? How does he know that?
Dr. Lee said this is quite common.
Yeah, it's common. It's common for both mothers and fathers, particularly in the postpartum. We call these scary thoughts or intrusive thoughts, intrusion being that the thoughts just come into mind. These are usually thoughts that one has no desire or intent to act upon, and there's usually a great deal of distress about experiencing these thoughts. The thoughts are often related to harm to the baby, a fear of harm coming to the baby, either accidentally dropping the baby is a very common one, or throwing the baby against a wall, again, a very common one.
And he said that to me, have you ever acted upon any of these things? And I said, no. And he said, well, you never will.
The current research suggests that the part of the brain that lights up, that is involved when those scary, intrusive thoughts and images come online in the mind, that part of the brain is associated with protection and attachment, not associated with violence. It is actually an overstretched kind of version of trying to keep baby safe and making sure that your behaviour, your actions, keep baby safe.
Peter's psychologist was able to put a label on what was happening to him.
He said, there's low-level sort of chronic depression and, you know, you've got general anxiety disorder. So now that I had something that I could attach my feelings to, it kind of made sense. And, you know, he obviously prescribed me some medication and things got a lot better, you know. They didn't get great.
Another thing that helped Peter was forcing himself to go back to work, even though he really didn't want to.
You know, I was in the having a shower and I was dry reaching. I was that, you know, anxious about it and all that sort of stuff. You know, the drive-in was terrible.
But Peter reached out to some of his co-workers and talked about what he was going through.
There was a guy that was at work who I discovered had some mental health issues, and he was the guy that I talked to quite a bit, which was really great. And gradually, you know, week by week, month by month, I started to feel like a normal person again.
Dr. Lee says if you notice your friend or partner is withdrawing, it's time to reach out.
Ask them how they're going, how you're doing at the moment. You seem a bit irritable. You could just note what you've observed in them. I notice you haven't been talking to me as much lately. I notice we haven't been spending as much time together. I'm just wondering if you're all right. So if you haven't heard from them for a while, then send them a text message and say, hello, I'm thinking of you. That in itself can be an absolute lifeline for someone who is struggling and feeling alone.
And she said, if you notice any signs in yourself, you should take action.
So the action might be simply to speak with someone who you trust, who you think has your back no matter what.
She says to seek help, not just for yourself, but for your family.
Dad's poor mental health can impact their partner's mental health directly. We know that if dad is depressed, mum has a 50% chance of being depressed as well. And dad's poor mental health can impact their relationship with their infant. it's very difficult to be present and available for your baby if you're feeling depressed or anxious, if you're feeling crappy or stressed or overwhelmed. And we know that dads contribute uniquely and positively to their infant's development, both socially and intellectually.
Peter's kids are now older. He's out of that wild age of nappies and sleepless nights. But your mental health isn't just something that might break when you have a child that gets fixed and is better. It's like your physical health. It's an ongoing thing. It's a work in progress. Pete stays alert of the signs that depression or anxiety are creeping back in.
I need to do certain things. There's a menu. There's a list of things that I need to do to make sure that I'm mentally fit to, you know, to be a good father. And, you know, and that is obviously good sleep, good diet, exercise, and I see a psychologist.
And for Peter, part of that process is trying to pay it forward.
I'm a Beyond Blue speaker, and I do a lot of work with them. And when I've done some talks, you know, you see that one or two blokes sort of milling around waiting for me to be alone, and they come up and they ask those questions, you know, like, how did you go telling your wife? And, you know, how did you go telling your mates? And, you know, what about work and stuff?
These days, Peter is trying to rethink what it means to be a man and a dad and try not to fall into those old stereotypes.
Because there's sometimes when you need to be stern, there's sometimes when you need to be soft, there's sometimes when you need to be loving, there's sometimes when you need to have that real tough love where, well, I guess an easy example, my eldest son does have some anxiety, and he was really finding it hard to go to school at the start of this school year. And I knew no matter what that he had to go, you know, and he was hitting me and swearing at me. And it was the hardest thing that I've had to do as a dad. As soon as I got him to school, I'd get in the car and I would just break down into a blubbing mess. And I'm talking like wailing, like a broken man, because it broke me, you know. I guess one of the things that really saddens you as a dad is when you can't. So I don't want to rescue my kids all the time, but I want them to stand on their own two feet. But one of the hardest things to see as a father is you see your kids going through any sort of pain.
Peter said being a dad is the hardest thing he's ever had to do. And I agree.
It's fucking hard. Mm. It's the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. And me and a bunch of mates talk about it all the time that, and, you know, fuck it, I'll just be, you know, we're fucking struggling at the moment. But, you know, sometimes we just feel, when I say we, I'm talking about me and my mates, that it shouldn't be this hard.
Mm.
It's suck it and see, right? We're kind of blindfolded.
Mm.
It's kind of sort of feeling our way in the dark.
Do you feel like talking to other dads has helped?
Absolutely. Yeah, because the way that my kids behave, I think they're the only kids that behave like that, right?
Mm.
And when you can share that with another dad and say, look, man, I'm having some trouble with, you know, my eldest, you know, this is, oh, yeah, I remember when my kid was that age and et cetera, et cetera. You walk away from those things thinking that you're doing a good job.
Mm.
It's been connecting with those sort of blokes that makes life and being a dad a more rewarding experience, because it's a shared experience.
Pete runs a charity event called Head Above Water. It's a 24-hour swim that raises money and awareness for suicide prevention in the northern beaches of Sydney. If you're from that part, you should check it out. After speaking to a bunch of people over the course of this episode, it became really clear how common it was for dads to be struggling with the huge pressure we put on ourselves as 21st century dads. So many people are feeling it, everyone I speak to. The things that Pete does for his mental health will help take the pressure off you too. Be honest with yourself when you're in a bad spot. Speak to your mates, speak to your colleagues, speak to an expert, even if it's just for some tips on how to relieve stress that's not just hitting the bottle. It's something we need to talk about more. Reach out to another dad, talk to them about the tough times. I bet they've had similar experiences and they'll want to talk about it. Next week, I'm exploring the world of work, the challenges of balancing being a dad and, you know, earning a living, and get some advice on how to make our work lives a little easier. We'd really appreciate it if you let us know what you think of the podcast. Jump on iTunes, give us an honest review. Plus, it also helps other dads find us. If you're feeling like you're not in a good place, and let's be honest, we know when we're not in a good headspace, there are numbers you can call. You literally have nothing to lose by doing it. That's what they're there for. Click on movember.com/dadinprogress. The link's in the description. You'll find a bunch of useful information on this topic and much more. Or alternatively, Google Beyond Blue. Give them a call. I'm Raph Dixon. This is Dad in Progress.